You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, hello there. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast, your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all off season. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the Sacramento Kings from January through December, yes, that includes a three-month period where we have no basketball and no sports period because of a global pandemic, this is the podcast for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I've been a Sacramento sports radio host for over the last five, now approaching 6 years. This is my sixth season, or it was my sixth season, covering the Kings as an on-air host and also a multimedia journalist and reporter. I also have the privilege of being one of you, a member of the Sacramento Kings fan community. Grew up in the Sacramento area, fell in love with the game of basketball because of the greatest show on court, Kings, from the late 90s in the early 2000s, so I am right there with you as a Sacramento Kings fan and as someone who is desperate to see the Kings finally end their playoff drought. And hey, that might happen this year in the strangest way possible, as yes, the NBA is still discussing the potential 20-team group stage playoff format. We're also hearing discussions of a play-in tournament between the final six teams in the West, those six teams being the Grizzlies and the Dallas Mavericks, who are currently in the eighth and seventh seeds, and then the four teams on the bubble, the Spurs, the Blazers, the Pelicans, and of course, the Sacramento Kings. And wouldn't that be a perfect way for the Kings to finally end their playoff drought than to do it by a strange technicality and in front of no fans in a neutral location, probably at Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida? Not how we all predicted, but hey, if the Kings make the postseason, I'm certainly not going to complain. And we're going to talk about the postseason a little bit today, but the main chunk of today's podcast is actually going to be us going back in time to a darker time with the Sacramento Kings, and that's when George Karl was head coach here in Sac Town. George Karl has a podcast called Truth Plus Basketball, and he, along with his former assistant coach Vance Wahlberg, had some things to say about the Sacramento Kings, his time here, Kings owner Vivek Ranadive, a lot of really brutally honest but juicy stuff that we're going to break down on today's show. Before we get to that, though, going back to these playoff scenarios, we've heard a lot of talk about an asterisk being put on this season. No matter who wins when it's all said and done, no matter who is crowned the NBA champion, and it's probably going to be weird to have an NBA champion crowned in the fall months of August, September, October, around that time, depending upon when we get things going. But at the end of the day, a lot of people feel that there's going to be an asterisk next to that title because of the unforeseen circumstances. I personally don't agree with that. I think that an asterisk is given in the case of a circumstance that is specific to one team, not all teams. And in this situation, every single NBA team, all 30 teams, are in the same boat right now. Nobody is playing. So in the event that there was the 20-team group stage format, or they just went straight to the playoffs with 16 teams, or there was a play-in tournament, or they did play a regular season up to 70 games, whoever's crowned at the end of it is the legitimate champion because we're all in this situation together. They're all experiencing the situation at the same time. But if the Sacramento Kings made the playoffs this year via a play-in tournament or the group model automatic bid, would there be an asterisk next to the Kings ending their nearly 14-year playoff drought? Sam Amick of The Athletic posted this question, and it was pretty 50-50 from what I saw people responding, especially Sacramento Kings fans on social media, even Kings personalities and Kings media members like Sean Cunningham from ABC 10 got involved, and Sean said, absolutely there is an asterisk. It should not count towards the Kings playoff drought. Me personally, I feel it's specific to how it happens. Let me give you an example. If the Kings were to compete in the six-team play-in tournament in the Western Conference and win either the seventh or eighth seed, then I say yes, that does count as completely ending the playoff drought without an asterisk. If the Kings were to be one of the selections for the automatic playoff bid and not make it out of the group stage, then I would say no, that should not count towards ending the playoff drought. But if they were to advance out of the group stage, be one of the top two out of five teams in their group, and advance to the regular seven-game series rounds, then yes, I feel that that does count towards ending their playoff drought. But you tell me, if the Kings make the postseason, no matter what way, do you put an asterisk next to it? Is it because it's not technically a normal playoff? It's not going to happen here in Sacramento and Kings fans won't be allowed in the building to celebrate it. Is that why you're putting an asterisk on it? There are a lot of different reasons for people to make an argument that this playoff circumstance shouldn't count beyond the crowning of the 2020 NBA champion. You let me know. At MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, and you can email me at any time, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Stay tuned for former Kings head coach George Karl's harsh comments about Sacramento, the organization, and owner Vivek Ranadive. But before that, I want to tell you about one of our fantastic sponsors here of the Locked On Kings podcast. That is Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. Built Bars are tasty. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and they're easy to chew. When they launched, when they first started working with us, they had 16 amazing flavors, 8 chocolate nut flavors and 8 chocolate nut free flavors. But Built Bar has gotten even better as they have now announced 4 new flavors, including peanut butter banana, pineapple upside down cake, coconut pecan pie, and blueberry lemon. I am so excited for these bars to come in. I have already ordered them. I cannot wait. The hardest thing for me, other than waiting for this box to arrive, is keeping these secret from my wife because she'll eat them all before I get the chance to. And not only are these protein bars basically candy bars, they're incredibly healthy and great for you. Perfect for the health-conscious guy or girl to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie and low-sugar, but high-protein and high-fiber. Let me give you a couple of examples of these bars, and I'll use the two that I've been using the entire time. My favorite bar and my wife's favorite bar. First, my wife's favorite bar is the peanut butter brownie bar. 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of net carbs. That's it. Now my favorite bar, the mint brownie bar, 15 grams of protein, 110 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. And I want to make sure that I hit this nail hard on the head, and it's not in the copy points. This is something personal to myself. I've tried a lot of different protein bars, and I've never found ones that I really like. The main reason for that is because they will advertise a flavor, but I won't get that taste when I bite into that bar. I taste more protein powder and other things than I do the actual advertised flavor. That is not the case with Built Bar. When you bite into a mint brownie bar, all you taste is delicious mint brownie. When you bite into a peanut butter brownie bar, all you taste is delicious peanut butter brownie. They are fantastic, they are delicious, and they are good for you. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off of your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. But wait, this week only, until May 31st, you can also receive $5 off of every box you order. So if you order 2 boxes of bars, that's $10 off plus the additional $10 promo code that I provided for you. $20 off of 2 boxes of Built Bar right there for you. It's an incredible deal. Again, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON for this incredible offer. Not too many people in Sacramento can forget George Karl's time as the Kings head coach. A very short time, although it felt like years with all of the issues. One word to sum it up, complete disaster. And we would all like to forget that period for the Sacramento Kings in their history as a whole. It certainly was a rough start to Vivek Ranadive's tenure as a new owner in the NBA and the new owner of the Sacramento Kings. But now it's coming back to us, and we're talking about it once again. Why? Because George Karl himself, along with his former assistant coach Vance Wahlberg, they both talked about it in a recent episode of the Truth Plus Basketball podcast. So there are 7 clips from this, some from George, some from Vance, that I want you to listen to because they're talking about the Kings, the issues with DeMarcus Cousins, a lot about Vivek Ranadive as an owner, how everything happened from their perspective. And look, I know the Kings are not blameless in this scenario. They did George Karl dirty just as much as George Karl did everybody else dirty. But here we go. From the Truth Plus Basketball podcast, here's George Karl talking about the many Kings decision makers and how that changed when he first came in.
I don't know the front office now. You know, I keep hearing stories that it's gotten better. I keep hearing stories it hasn't gotten better. I think Luke is a good young coach that, you know, he's got a young team. He's got a team that at times looks like it's moving in the right direction. But the inner stuff that I know about what happened with us is going to change.
Let's get more into that.
I don't know how to specifically get into it because all I know is the decision-making is all over the place. But I went from both Milwaukee and Denver having great relationships with the decision makers, working with the front office, working to make the right trades, working to get players that I like, to an organization in Sacramento. Now that Pete doesn't want to be there anymore. So the guy I'm close to, who I want to talk to about the game, I don't have that guy anymore. And, you know, the truth of the matter is Vivek didn't trust us. And Vladi was he's the new guy on the block, and he was flooded, probably over his head a little bit, searching a little bit. Good guy, trying to figure it out. But you throw an inexperienced guy into this chaos. I didn't think it was very difficult to even see your way out. But you know, as coaches, our job is to try to figure it out every day, trying to figure it out. And, you know, we had our ideas, but unfortunately, they never came to us and asked us our ideas.
For those of you who may not understand, the Pete that George Karl is talking about here in this clip is former Kings general manager Pete D'Alessandro, who is famous in Sacramento for firing Mike Malone after Malone was hired before Pete was hired by Vivek Ranadive. So Pete D'Alessandro, obviously not a popular figure here in Sacramento. George Karl, not a popular figure today as well. However, I do sympathize a little bit with George Karl and do agree with some of the stuff that he is saying here. The Kings have had issues with unclear decision makers and a lot of different voices being heard and their opinions being taken into account when it should have been one or two voices getting the final say. And on top of that, George Karl talks about the organization not really putting any trust in him and trust in Pete from the get-go. And that's something that every coach and every general manager needs. I'm not saying they are entitled to it. You certainly have to earn it. But someone based off of George Karl's reputation probably should have gotten more trust and more acceptance from the organization that fired him and paid him a boatload of money, and they never really gave that to him.
How soon did you see that you would have issues in Sacramento?
Well, I think the first story is it was less than a month, probably 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. I got hired before the All-Star break. I think the All-Star break came, and then I came back. And I think we were starting to play in San Antonio. And I get a phone call from Vladi saying, I'm going to meet you in San Antonio, and I'd like to meet with you.
And Vladi's not GM at that point, correct?
I didn't know Vladi from anywhere. I mean, it was just out of the blue. I knew he was a Sacramento King. I didn't know anything. So Vladi calls, and I don't think I talked to him. We text back and forth. And I said, no problem. I'll have dinner with you when I get to San Antonio. No idea why. And then I hear that he's going to be with the organization. So I call Pete up. And I yell and scream at Peter. I said, Pete, we can't work this way. I mean, we've just come together. We're committed. And now you hire someone that, you know, I have no problem with Lottie. I don't know him very well, but you hire him without even talking to me. That scares the hell out of me. And so I'm yelling and screaming on the phone for like 15 minutes and I get done and Pete goes, I didn't know anything about it either. And I said, that's worse.
So this is where I hold the Kings organization responsible, and I point the finger at them a little bit. You hire a new head coach, and within weeks, you go behind his back and the back of your general manager, in a way, bringing in Vlade Divac and giving him executive responsibilities and that kind of power and that kind of influence. That is not how you run an organization. And the Kings, this ownership group, they kind of learned by doing it, and they learned from the mistakes that they made. And we all know that there are a lot of mistakes early on. This was a big one right here, because immediately it soured the relationship between George Karl and between Pete D'Alessandro and the rest of the organization. And on top of that, you drew a line in the sand and made it clear that those two were on the wrong side.
Russ, I'm going to be out the rest. I'll serve out the rest of the year. But on All-Star break, I talked to maybe 10 guys. And almost every one of them say to me, you have no chance, George. You're done. You know, you're going to finish the year out because Vivek doesn't want to pay your salary. He doesn't want to pay another salary. It's not that he likes you or he's going to give you an honest second chance. He's just doing it because what I was been told was the ownership group says, hey, if you fire him, you got to pay him.
What George Karl is talking about here is the term lame duck coach. And this is why a lot of coaches who are going into the final year on their contract like to have a contract extension done before that season begins, so they don't have to worry about putting in work today that they won't reap the rewards of tomorrow. George Karl was a lame duck coach for the final 20 or so games of that season with the Kings. He knew that he was going to be fired. Now, again, this is all from George's perspective, so he might have some things skewed. It certainly is a negative description and perception of Vivek Ranadive overall, but I do believe there's some truth to it. And if Karl knew that Vivek wanted to fire him, but wouldn't do it because he didn't want to have to pay another coach's salary on top of George's salary, what kind of message does that send? What does that say about your organization? What does that say about the ownership group? Who would want to coach for that in the future if that's how you're treating a Hall of Famer? Granted, a Hall of Famer who has a bit of a mean streak and certainly deserves some of the heat that came his way, but it's not a good look for Vivek, it's not a good look for the Kings, and this is one of the many ways where not only was George in the wrong, but the organization could have handled things a whole hell of a lot better. In this next clip, you're going to hear from former Kings assistant coach who served under George Karl, Vance Wahlberg, and he talks about how he was fired. He was the one who had to bite the bullet because Vivek needed to fire somebody and wanted to send a clear message to George Karl, but didn't want to fire Karl because he didn't want to pay Karl's salary, so he went and got one of his top assistants. Oh, yeah. And he had Vlade fire him.
Of course, they come in my office and tap me and they say, hey, Vlade wants to see you. And I'm looking at them and they kind of look a little funny. I said, get out of here. You know, Vlade never really talked much to me and so forth. So, no, they're going, serious. We're serious. You got to go see Vlade. I said, get out. They go, no, Vance, you got to go see Vlade. So I get up, I go down there, I figure it probably wasn't good. Sit down, Pilates in there, Mike Bratz and Peja. And they go, we got to fire you. And I kind of go, you got to fire me? What do you mean? Well, Vivek wants us to fire somebody to let coach know, kind of send a little message to coach and so forth. So we picked you. So my comment right away was, well, why don't you pick Nancy? You know, this is Nancy Lieberman. You know, and I felt most of the year Nancy was kind of he was the one hired by coach and kind of backstabbed a little bit. But Vivek and Nancy were kind of with one another. So they went on and just said, hey, we appreciate what you did, blah, blah, blah. And see ya. And it was a shock. I've never been fired like that ever.
What's important to keep in mind here is perspective and the perception based off of reputation outside of Sacramento. You have a new ownership group and a inexperienced executive in Vlade Divac firing and treating a Hall of Fame head coach and respected assistant coaches with years of experience this way. It does not look good at all. And I feel bad for Coach Wahlberg here to have to be the fall guy, to be the one to bite the bullet, and to be fired in the manner that he was just speaks to the organization's inexperience and then bad decision-making, a trend that they've worked really hard over the last few years to break and to learn from. And now for the moment you've all been waiting for. Of course, we know one of the big reasons why George Karl didn't work here in Sacramento. Well, it's because he made an enemy of then-Kings star DeMarcus Cousins pretty quickly. And there was a famous blow-up that happened after a game where DeMarcus Cousins, in front of everybody in the locker room, cursed out George Karl, which caused an even bigger rift when the Kings organization sided with their young star, with DeMarcus Cousins, and did not suspend him. Here's Coach Wahlberg talking about his memories of that incident.
The worst I've ever seen of any game in my life, what happened in that locker room after we played San Antonio that night. And I don't know if you remember, Coach, we were actually 1-6 at the time. That was our eighth game. You know, we had a couple injuries early. We had a pretty tough schedule early playing the Lakers and the Clippers and the Warriors right away out of the gate. We weren't doing well. And he was right. I think it was a 4-6 point game in the fourth quarter. Then all of a sudden we go, I think we ended up losing 20, 24, 25, somewhere around there. We just couldn't do anything right. So we get in, and if you don't know, Coach, after the game, he lets things kind of settle down. They don't come in, say a couple of things, and that's it. As soon as he walks in, DeMarcus just goes off. I mean, off.
He's throwing stuff. He's breaking things, or he's screaming at everybody.
No, he's Coach hasn't even said a word yet. It's just, F you, Coach. You think you're a effing Hall of Fame coach. All the hell you care about is your wins. You don't give a shit about us. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, it went on for a good 35, 40, 45 seconds, maybe even a minute. You know, Vladdy's in there. He hears it. He sees it. All the coaches are there. Now, Corliss Williamson's trying to get, you know, DeMarcus, come on, settle down a little bit, you know, and DeMarcus just went off. I mean, it was not even a question, you know, should have been a 3-game suspension, 5-game suspension, but what happened? You know, and then that's why what Coach said the next day when we met with the front office and they said, we're not doing anything. I remember John Welch saying, you know, John made one of the best points in that whole meeting. The person you're hurting the most is DeMarcus. DeMarcus needs this. He needs to know what his parameters are and so forth. You're really letting DeMarcus down. And at that point, I know, remember, Chad walked out that day and said, we're done. We have no chance of finishing this, you know, being here after this season.
And he's right. As soon as the organization chose DeMarcus Cousins and chose to let his actions go unpunished, going against George Karl's wishes to suspend him and send a clear message, from that point on, George, that coaching staff, they knew they were done. Their future there was over. The Kings were faced with a decision and they completely sided with the player. All power, what little that coaching staff had left, was now completely gone. I remember vividly this entire situation going down, and I remember in the moment my gut feeling was to side with George Karl, was to say that DeMarcus should be punished. The fact that this whole entire outburst happened in front of everybody and he does not receive a suspension when the coach asked for it, I felt the Kings were completely in the wrong, and I do still feel a little bit of that now. But having known the context of what was happening, having known the relationship and the things, the mistakes that George Karl made, and he's going to talk about here in just a second, one of the major mistakes that he made early on in his time with the Sacramento Kings. Having known all that, some of what DeMarcus was saying was true. And we know George Karl also published a book during this time and had some negative things to say about other NBA players that made him not very popular amongst those in the league. So there might have been some truth and some reason behind DeMarcus's outburst. But as soon as the organization chose not to suspend DeMarcus, they cut all ties with George. At that point, he was just there collecting a check. Couple more clips for you. This one, George Karl talking about a mistake that he made and how his relationship soured because of one comment with DeMarcus Cousins early on.
Answer that pretty simple. I wish we would have gotten more time. And I wish we'd have gotten more support. And to coach DeMarcus, you need that. The whole thing comes down to, yeah, I probably made mistakes. I shouldn't have said any player on my team is tradable because they're not mature enough to take that statement. That was a mistake on my part. But the organization could have helped me get through it. Instead, they supported DeMarcus and divided us. And so everything got into being a division. And there's just not one, two divisions. There are a lot of divisions out there. I mean, there were things with Rudy. There were things with other players, contracts, trades, rumors, all that stuff. It was chaotic. There was too much BS, basketball BS surrounding the team. And we let it indoors instead of keeping it outside.
This clip to me is perfect George Karl because he admits that he made a mistake early on making that nobody is untradeable comment when you're basically talking about your star in DeMarcus Cousins. But then he follows that up with saying that the team wasn't mature enough to handle a comment like that. So he's apologizing for a mistake that he made and then taking a dig at his players again for not being mature enough to handle it. That's just perfect George Karl, who he is. Overall, yes, this was a boneheaded mistake by George Karl, even if it's true. And hey, I agreed with George Karl at the time. DeMarcus Cousins had done nothing to be labeled untradeable. But if that's one of the first things you really say as a head coach when you're trying to deal with your top star who is known to have issues with coaches and who values loyalty over everything else, not the best move you made there, George. This last clip is both Karl and Wahlberg talking about how they think Vivek Ranadive is part of the problem and the reason why the Kings have still not made the playoffs to this day.
I mean, I don't know 100%. I don't know all the stuff, but I would say yes. I think you got to hire someone and give him the opportunity to run the team. But you got to be a unified organization, and you got to have one guy leading the game.
Vance, what do you think?
You look at it, you know, as coaches, with George being the head coach, he knows he failed. We know as assistants, we failed. Okay. I still think in my heart of hearts, if you could have given Coach another 2 years, I think they would have seen that turn. I think they would have seen it from the 29 to 30 some odd wins to get to where we want to be because of the culture we would instill, of the work ethic we would put in and the relationship building. And then I would think if Vivek has to look at it himself, he has to say, you know what? I'm the head of this. I'm the top man. I have to take some of the blame. And I think he has a big part of the blame. I think if he's, like Coach said, if you're going to hire people, you hire them, you let them do what they're supposed to do. But you can't change 15 months, 18 months after. You have to give time.
All I have to say to wrap this up is that in this situation, the George Karl saga in Sacramento, and today, nobody is blameless. Vivek Ranadive certainly isn't blameless. George Karl certainly isn't blameless. Assistant coach Vance Wahlberg certainly isn't blameless. DeMarcus Cousins, Vlade Divac, Peja Stojakovic, you name it. There is a lot of blame to be shared and to go around with this organization. And all I hope is that they've learned from it, that they've corrected a lot of these mistakes, and that finally, be it through the hiring of Luke Walton and the agreed plan to build around De'Aaron Fox, everybody is getting on the same page and taking positive steps towards the execution of a clear and well-designed plan. I want to hear your thoughts on George Karl's comments because I know that sparked some kind of reaction in you. Send them to me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK and email them to me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. On tomorrow's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast, I'm going to be joined by a colleague of mine from the Locked On Podcast Network. It is Mark King, the host of Locked On Grizzlies, the team that is currently sitting in the eighth and final seed in the Western Conference. Do they deserve to automatically be in, and should we feel a little bit bad for them that the other four bubble teams in the West are getting so much consideration over them in their case for making the postseason? We'll talk with Mark about that, plus we go more in depth about the potential play-in tournament or the group stage idea with 20 teams in this year's NBA playoffs. It's a great conversation. I look forward to having you hear it tomorrow. Until then, my name is Matt George. Please stay safe, stay healthy, and I'll talk to you very soon. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.